This is Sonny Hollywood Pooney from Podcast Rock City. We've been waiting 100,000 years for another good Kiss podcast to rear its ugly head, and I guess we'll just keep waiting. But since you already hit play, you obviously know that you are listening to the Shout It Out Loudcast. Tom and Zeus are dropping deuces in dark-lit places, and that's not only a danger for you, it's plain danger us.
That's right. We're back with another episode of Dorm Damage, the show where anything and everything is on the table and the table gets smashed. This week, we're joined by a very special guest, longtime friend and fellow podcaster, Kiss Cruise nerd, the host of Potter Than Hell, Steve Wright is here. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. What's up? Nothing going on here.
Nothing.
Just talking with you guys, looking at your handsome faces here. I don't give a shit what Quesada says. You guys are handsome.
Oh, don't listen to him with his VO hot oil treatment, whatever the hell he does.
Say his name as many times you want. He doesn't get a fucking theme song on this show. Fuck him.
Zeus, what are we doing this week? What are we doing? We got Steve on here, so that means it's Bang Tango's greatest hits episode.
No.
We're going to talk about Man of War.
No. Dude, there are times, I got to get this out. There are times I'm like, is that a parody? You'll have like listening to this at the firehouse. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck is this?
It's He's like, have you ever heard of Powerwolf? Like,
they're great.
I'm like, he definitely bought this for the cover. He has no idea what kind of music it is. It's just the cover.
Well, this week we're talking about five bands that everybody knows and mostly loves. Who knows? But yeah, this week we're going to talk about Def Leppard, Rat, Dokken, Bon Jovi, and Motley Crue, their first four albums of each of those bands.
Yeah. Imagine if this was an album review crew. Hi, we're on part 17.
we'll be back to you next month.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, for this, we're just going to go down because this is Steve's, like, he's the perfect guest for this. He knows these albums inside and out. These are the albums that I think are the big five. These are like the big five in this type of music. We're probably missing somebody.
Yep.
But nobody else has got, as far as I think, defined this era of melodic rock, glam rock, LA rock, or hair metal, whatever you want to call it. I think these are the bands that defined it, especially with their first four albums.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I would throw, like Tom said, I would throw in Bang Tango in there, Danger, Leather Wolf, you know, bands like that. I would throw
Leather Wolf and Power Wolf. Those can't be real.
I'm telling you, they are.
I had a Leather Wolf cassette in college.
See?
Tom, Calling on You or something like that. Not
that's
the
Striper.
Song. No, what was it? They had a Hear Me Calling, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? So, was that what it was called?
That's Leather Wolf. Yeah. That's Leather Wolf.
They have three guitarists. Right?
This isn't a Leather Wolf. This isn't a Wolf episode. No, we're not doing Wolf bands.
Rank
your favorite Wolf bands.
All right. So let's think about it, right? I think three of the five are considered the LA bands, the glam bands. And that's Rat, Motley Crue, and Dokken. Bon Jovi, we all know, who hates to look back and consider the fact that he was in this genre.
Yep.
They're a New Jersey band. And Def Leppard is the British band.
Right.
Who really gets lumped into these kind of bands only with Hysteria.
Yeah, I think Def Leppard is kind of the band that kind of like evolved into this genre, and we've talked in the past about how Pyromania kind of ushered in the era of like kind of like really like glam hair metal. And it's funny because they were like, they're from the UK, right, Steve? I mean,
yeah, I think too with these bands that they most of them evolved into that.
Yeah.
Like Def Leppard started out as a hard rock band. Yeah. The first two albums are not hair metal, you know, if you want to call it that,
right?
Albums. And Too Fast for Love is not. And you know, like a lot of these bands, but like I think Dokken and Rat were probably the ones that stayed the steadiest out of these bands from their debut to the, you know, to what we're talking about today.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, I mean, like the evolution of these of the four albums. I mean, you got a band like Bon Jovi that really evolved. You got a band like I think Motley Crue like really evolved. Def Leppard too, but yeah, I think Dokken and Rat were probably, like you said, probably the ones that kind of didn't really veer too far from that first to the fourth album.
But you know what's funny is, like, I think if any of our listeners like this type of music, which I would say maybe 90% of the people like this, if you listen to Kiss, you are into these type of bands.
Mm-hmm.
These five were bands that you bought their records in the 80s, and they would churn out an album every 1 or 2 years, and you would buy them. Because that was the band you would buy. Dokken, Rat's got a new album. Okay, Bon Jovi's got a new album. Oh, Def Leppard's got a new album. You're buying them. They're in your collection. All of us had these albums in our collection. It's very hard to find the guys like, yeah, I listen to Dokken, Bon Jovi, Rat, but I won't buy Motley Crue. Like, what?
Right.
You like one? You like all of these. And I think we've all had these albums. And what's interesting is, right about the fourth album of all these is when music changed, and yeah, you know, and Steve's favorite type of music, grunge, came in, and the style changed, and these albums became different. But if you look at these, all four of these, all five bands on their fourth album, they're still like, this is in their wheelhouse. This is the type of album they're still putting out. Then they start getting a little bit different. Like Detonator becomes way different for Rat. Dokken's fifth. What's their fifth album? Dysfunctional?
Dysfunctional.
You know, I mean, you're way down.
Boy, were they.
These days for Bon Jovi is nothing like 7,800 Fahrenheit.
But it's also funny, too, if you look at the evolution of these bands. I mean, it might not be my favorite, but Def Leppard's fourth album is arguably their biggest album, Hysteria, right? Dokken's fourth album is arguably probably their most accessible album in Back for the Attack.
Yes.
Bon Jovi, their fourth album. I mean, New Jersey's might not be bigger than Slippery and Wet, but some people think it is. So I think Rat.
They have five fucking top 10 hits.
Right.
Off but that album.
I think Rat and Motley Crue were the bands that, although I like them, I thought there was like that fourth album, like, was just. It was still okay. Rat and Motley Crue, but it was they changed.
It didn't catapult them like the other ones did.
Yeah, right, Motley did have Dr. Feelgood, which would fall into this.
That's true. Bon Jovi, fifth.
Yeah,
fifth is very different. Dokken's fifth is different. Rat's Detonator is different, but it could still fall into this.
Yeah,
Def Leppard, even Adrenalize, it really changed their style.
Yuck.
Hysteria, and even less.
Right.
But these are the four albums. The one thing that sticks out to me, and I will say this, and I want to get your opinion on this. I think Dokken's, when I look at these albums.
I know what you're going to say.
Album is the band that got each album was better than the next.
Yep.
More than any other than one. Everyone else is either uneven or up, down, middle. But Dokken's, from Breaking the Chains to Tooth and Nail to Under Lock and Key to Back for the Attack. Crescendo going up.
I think they either stay the same or got better. Steve, what do you think? I know how you feel about Hysteria.
Yeah, I Hysteria is definitely Desert Valley Anomaly for me. Yeah. But I agree with you, Zeus. And today, you guys, thanks for inviting me. Number one, number two.
Yeah.
Like literally last night, you guys asked me if I would do this, so I was kind of going through, and I hadn't listened to Dokken Breaking the Chains in forever.
Yeah.
So I listened to that. I kind of just got back into some of the stuff I haven't heard in a while. And there's definitely the progression with Dokken, each one got better because Breaking the Chains, I was like, I hate that album. But then I listened to it today.
The title track is great, but after the title track, the song
production is terrible.
Absolutely.
The
Don Dokken's voice.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's singing like. There's no bass in it. But Dawkins, I would say their songs got better. Like it's a complete Back to the Attack is a complete album.
Well, I think the evolution of the style of music as you get from like hard rock to like pop metal, glam metal, I think that suited a band like Dawkins and a band like Def Leppard. I think Rat and Motley Crue, I just think those bands were probably just suffered from, I don't know if it was inner turmoil or something, but because Rat and Motley Crue right off the bat, I think you would have thought that those bands would have done it. But I think obviously we've left out an important part of the evolution of Def Leppard, and obviously the Rick Allen, you know, his accident losing an arm, they were forced to change their sound and do that real like poppy kind of drum sound prominent on Hysteria. But yeah, I think it is interesting to see how these bands either plateaued or got better or got worse or really just fell into a hole in the ground, you know?
And it's funny because then the next thing I wanted to ask you guys, I think Rat has the best debut, started off, and then they just gotten progressively worse as you go down their albums.
Steve, why don't you start with this? Who out of these five, who has the best debut, do you think?
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shouted Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
I would agree with Zeus on that one, I think. Although I would maybe just a little bit over Bon Jovi's debut. I really like that album.
I agree with you. But out
of
the Cellar,
not a whole lot, but Out of the Cellar, there's no skippers on that. And there's maybe one or two on Bon Jovi's debut album that are kind of a little maybe borderline skippable skippers for me.
That's the perfect record. But seriously, on Rat's Out of the Cellar, go down the list. Would you say, Tom, what about you? Would you say that their albums got progressively worse?
For me? Yeah. Rat? Oh, Al, by far. No doubt. Right? I mean, when you start with Out of the Cellar, Invasion of Privacy is
a great album.
Invasion of Privacy is great. It's like Out of the Cellar Part 2, but not as good.
Correct.
And then they Dancing Undercover is good. It's, you know, Reach for the Sky is like, ah, all right, you guys, the wheels are falling off a little bit.
Way Cool Junior?
No, but I think in terms of the best debut, for, it's easily Out of the Cell, but I think I've always had a soft spot just for Too Fast for Love, because I remember I remember when I discovered that cassette. And I was like, holy, because my introduction to Motley Crue was Shout at the Devil, courtesy of MTV.
Same here. I didn't know Too Fast for Love.
So going backwards to Too Fast for Love and hearing songs like, you know, like Merry Go Round and Starry Eyes, I was like, whoa, what is going on with this band right now? And I told you, I'll tell you right now, I am in the minority, I think. I can't wait to see what you guys think. I love Theater of Pain. I'm sorry. I always have. Zeus is laughing. Steve has a big smile. All right, Steve. Theater of Pain, no.
All right. Well, let me just say, first of all, and here's one thing for that kind of I thought of when you were saying that, Tom, about first getting into Shout at the Devil.
Yeah.
I'm a couple years older than you guys. And so those years, like, I got those albums as they came out, because we had it wasn't obviously not the Leather Records version of it, but when they went to when they reissued it, we did have Too Fast for Love when it, like, the year it came out. So we were with Crue from the beginning. Okay. And that album's great. That album is excellent.
It's awesome.
And what was the rest of that?
Theater of Pain.
I love Theater of Pain.
Yeah.
What? I live in the house that my grandparents owned, and they had a swing on the front porch. And I remember when that album came out that summer, I had my Walkman and I sat on that swing and listened to that cassette over and over and just kept on flipping it.
What part do you love? The fucking trumpets and smoking in the boys' room?
Dude, we need a lover tonight. Kicks ass.
It's something about the album. And I think that a lot of that has to do with how I was listening to it. It's literally right 5 feet from where I'm sitting now, because I actually live in the house. I bought the house my grandparents owned. And I think that's more of a memory type thing.
Home just is fucking off the charts legendary for all of us. If you grew up in the 80s, you know that song, and you know when Motley Crue hit it big. You have sentimental feelings when that comes on. I agree. Yeah,
and Louder Than Hell is just a ripoff of I Love It Loud. It's a fucking same song. Yeah. But it's better than I Love It Loud.
No!
I'm kidding.
All right. So then we've already did Dawkins saying that they got progressively better. Rat got progressively worse.
Yep.
Let's go to Bon Jovi. I love their first two albums. I talk about it all the time. I even had their VHS before Slippery When Wet came out of all their videos. That was my band. The most melodic, hard rock, every song is good, catchy tunes, good vocals, great guitar, nothing too over the top, harmonies, choruses, catchy songs. And then the motherfucker comes up with Slippery When Wet, and then everybody falls in love and goes, oh my God, the girls love Bon Jovi. And then coming up with the sequel, it doesn't sell probably as much, but New Jersey up with that album with that pressure on you.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing. And yeah, New Jersey is not as good. I feel like there's fucking a couple stupid songs on there, but I love Bon Jovi's first four albums. That Bon Jovi, I don't know about the shit afterwards, are as good as any band on this stuff here. These five bands, those four albums by Bon Jovi, I don't know. We'll rank these afterwards each other, but I thought Bon Jovi's early stuff, and too bad they don't do that kind of music anymore, was unbelievable.
Steve.
Yeah, they're the saddest one out of all the ones we're going to talk about tonight from what they've turned into. I mean, Rat is, you know, they're all splintered and all that shit, but, you know, whatever. But like when they get together, if they do again, they play Rat, you know. Def Leppard, they're still out there. Crue, they're still out there with whatever configuration you want to call them now. And Dokken, he still goes out, but, you know, we know how that's going on with him. But they still maintain that era. You get Bon Jovi, he doesn't want shit to do with these Bruce albums.
Springsteen part two.
I hate that. I mean, imagine if he just said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go out. My final tour is going to be first four albums. We're just going to do this shit. People would lose their fucking minds, including myself. And I mean, I've seen Bon Jovi from their first tour. I saw them open for Scorpions in Philadelphia in 1984. And nice. I've seen them, you know, pretty much all the other tours, 7,800 Fahrenheit up to, I'm going to say up to Keep the Faith. But then I seen them a couple times in the 90s, and I saw them about maybe 10 years ago. And it was like right after Richie left, and they were okay. Mm. But now, like, you watch some of the videos.
Yeah, he has trouble singing, too.
Yeah.
He's really bad.
But it's, you know, the rumors Richie is supposed to be coming back to the band and stuff like that. So I hope he will maybe push him back in that direction, because the last couple albums, they're like...
They're country rock.
Country rock. Yeah. But, like, shitty country rock.
But he's, like, trying to do, like, can you imagine, like, because I know every once in a while he'll throw in an oldie here and there. But he's not going to do, like, You Can't Go Home and then go, this one's called Tokyo Road off of 7,800 Fahrenheit. Because people are like, oh, my God, what is this hard rock music? Like, he has a different audience now. And it's too bad. Because John himself is I don't know. For me, he's a very likable person. I've never heard a bad thing about him. He does a lot of charity work, helps out a lot of good people. He's never got himself tainted. Plus, he's a big Patriots fan, right, Tom?
That's right. Yeah.
And he's always got a great attitude. I like John Bon Jovi personally. I just don't like what he's done with his music.
Bon Jovi is the only band in this list that I literally, and this is going to sound weird because I have no connection to Bon Jovi. I never.
Not anymore.
No. Like,
I never got into him.
I never got into them. So my sister had the 7,800 record, and all I knew at that time was In and Out of Love.
Slippery When Wet
comes out, and of course, it was impossible to ignore that album because of MTV, and everybody had the cassette. And I love Slippery When Wet. I loved it. New Jersey, I never owned it. I've never seen Bon Jovi in concert.
But you heard it everywhere.
Right. And I think the problem with me with Bon Jovi, I'm like, that's like the band that like the chicks like.
Yes.
That's like a chick hair band. They're not Rat. They're not Dokken. Girls like Bon Jovi. I'm not listening to them.
But I like them. They weren't Poison like.
Yeah. Right.
At that time too, you had a lot of heavier stuff coming out. Metallica was out by then.
Yes.
You know, bands like that. You know, I know you guys, you know, Dio, stuff like that. Ozzy.
Yep.
Sabbath was still going strong with, you know, with the other everyone else that they had in the band. So like music was changing, but like that was like the antithesis of the Metallicas and the Megadeths and the
I'll push back a little on that. He wasn't like Bon Jovi. I think everybody knew, even the Metallicas, Megadeths knew what Bon Jovi was. They knew what they were, and they didn't diss them because they knew what Bon Jovi was. Hard rock, catchy melodic music. I don't put him into the backlash of like the Wingers and Poison.
Oh, no.
Real shit on afterwards. But I think people realize Bon Jovi overcame the genre.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi got themselves out of hair metal, glam metal, because I think he thought if he stayed in that, his career was over. Other bands.
Yeah, and I also think
that's why he tried to push that shit away and try to become more adult contemporary or whatever.
But I also think the image, too, when you look at those bands, I mean, Bon Jovi didn't. I mean, OK, maybe some of the videos are Slippery
When Wet. The first two albums they did, even third.
Right. Yeah, I know. But they weren't like it's hard to say. I don't want to say they weren't like flamboyant, like Poison or like stuff like that. But something about I think it's something about Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora just. They separated themselves ever so slightly from like that hair metal.
Cause they wrote their own fucking music.
Yeah. They cared about their songs. Like it wasn't Stephen Piercy and Robin Crosby. It wasn't like Don Dokken and George Lynch. It just looked and felt
better
different.
Songwriters. Way better.
And maybe that's it.
I think too, they seemed like two guys that you could walk into a bar and have a conversation with.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be, you know, Stephen Piercy there getting all ripped up and tearing up bars and shit. And a lot of that was reputation too.
Same thing with the crew.
Never
same thing with
anything
crew.
Bad about those guys.
You know what the other thing is too? He married his high school sweetheart.
So now we're nailing it down. They were like the nice guys of hair.
Yeah, they weren't like, you know, you see like the Poison videos where like they got chicks bringing them in the back room, shaking their tits and stuff.
And crew.
John was like, look at all the girls like going, John.
Right.
Like a Backstreet Boys video.
Like a boy band. Exactly.
Like, fucking show me your tits like Crew did in Home Sweet Home.
Right.
So they kept that image and nice guys. Oh, what a good guy John Bon Jovi is. All American.
And I think Def Leppard was fairly similar to that. I mean, I think to me personally, I think Def Leppard is light years better than Bon Jovi. That's just me personally. That's okay. But I think it's the same thing. I think they were like the nice guys of that genre. They
were all right. Let's go Def Leppard.
Yeah. Now, go ahead.
They are, I would say, the big differences with Def Leppard amongst the five is obviously considered a part of the new wave of British metal. And they just, they're English. So right. They had a different philosophy, different style. And we talked about it when we did Pyromania. It's like these guys are like AC/DC hooks,
yep,
but with good looks.
Yeah.
Right? Good looking guys. So we can do something. The girls can like these guys too and still do well. Now, On Through the Night's a good album.
It is a good album.
I wouldn't call it great.
No, it's not great.
High and Dry, off the charts. Pyromania, off the charts. Hysteria, different. But still, for me, off the charts. I think it's fucking a great album. It's just different. It's a different band.
Look at the timeline, too, when they hit.
Yeah. Right.
They're the earliest band on this list. Their debut was 1980.
That's
so
right.
They're on their third album by 83. Bon Jovi's not out yet. Rat's not out yet.
And hair metal's not even a word.
Yeah.
No. There's no hair metal.
And MTV hits right then, too.
Would you say Def Leppard probably has transformed from album 1 to 4 the most?
Oh, by far.
Right.
By far. Oh,
yeah.
Go listen. I always laugh because Hysteria is a good album. And I am not trying to sound like one of those guys. I'm not trying to sound like a Metallica fan. Like, oh, Load's terrible. You got to listen to Puppets. Like, because I love Load and Reload. But I like Hysteria is okay, but to me, it's a completely different band for a variety of reasons. Rick Allen, yes. The popularity. But you go listen to friggin' Let It Go off of High and Dry, and then go listen to Love Bites off of Hysteria. Like, what the fuck is going on with this band right now? You know what I mean? Now, I get it. Right. I know.
But to me, I look at it as go listen to a brilliant song like Hysteria, the title track.
A great song.
Beautiful song.
Yeah.
That melody, the lyrics, all that. Or even if you go down to Armageddon It.
I love Armageddon It.
The
love
fucking
it.
Backing vocal.
Animal. Like,
so sophisticated. The chorus going back and forth. It's almost
it's great.
Like you got the fucking Eagles back there with all the harmonies and everybody in the dupe. It's like the Mamas and Papas with all the fucking overlapping choruses. It's brilliant music. It's not fucking, what do you call it? Coming Under Fire,
right?
Which is I think a brilliant rock song, but it's just different styles, right?
Right. And if you look at their albums, even start with On Through the Night, there's elements of that on High and Dry. Then there's elements of High and Dry and Pyromania. And then there's elements of Pyromania on Hysteria. So, I mean, they progressed the most, but they still kept elements from album to album. It's not like you go from On Through the Night to Hysteria, totally different, but not when you go from On Through the Night to Pyromania and then not from or On Through the Night to High and Dry and then from High and Dry to Pyromania. It's not like that radical of a change as you would get if you put On Through the Night on and then Hysteria.
That's a great point. I think their evolution was very subtle. And I think and they didn't it wasn't jarring. Like, because when you got On Through the Night, you get High and Dry, like, okay. And then Pyromania, like, okay, it's a little bit more melodic. It's a little bit more poppy, but it still kicks ass. And then, like you said, then you get Hysteria is like, okay, this is real poppy and real melodic.
I think it's also the production in it.
Oh, totally.
You go from production to like, wait a minute, on Pyromania, it's almost like the same music on High and Dry, but this is a little bit more sophisticated. And then then you go to fucking Hysteria and you're like, who the hell, what do you have 15 engineers on this album? It's amazing. Now Motley Crue, let's go to them for a second.
Go ahead. Yeah,
I would say they're the most erratic as far as album 1 to 4 go, up and down, because this second album by far is their best album in my opinion.
I Shout at the Devil is one of the all-time greatest albums for me personally. I'll never get sick of Shout at the Devil.
And then you like Theater of Pain.
I do.
I think Girls, okay. Wild Side, Girls. Who else is clamoring for
you? Don't. What are you talking about? You don't like the cover of Jailhouse Rock? Like, come on. You don't like Dancing on Glass? Steve, where are you? I mean, I think everybody who likes this music likes Too Fast for Love. like Shout at the Devil.
Love Shout at the Devil.
Like the, to me, I think Girls, Girls, Girls is a mess. Where are you on Girls, 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 Steve?
That's all over the place. It is. But there's great shit on there. Like Wild Side's probably my favorite crew song. Like great Bad song. Boy Boogie is like Nona is like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? No. I forgot about that.
You know,
are you out of your head like, over you?
You know, and Jailhouse Rock. I'm like, ugh. Guys, come on.
I think it's funny when you look at Motley Crue's fourth album and kind of how it's a mess, according to us. I don't think it's that different from Rat's fourth album is kind of a mess. Reach for the Sky. It's like,
yeah, that is actually pretty true. You know what I mean? Dance on the Cover is a little like theater. Yeah.
Right. They follow similar. I mean, although the I think the first and second albums you get reversed with the two bands.
Yes.
You know, but yeah, I think those bands are the ones that are kind of like, yikes, you've kind of. But like you said, they're different because they redeemed themselves with their fifth album with Dr. Feelgood.
Oh, I love Dr. Feelgood. Yeah. Love it. Yeah, I wish we could put that in there and get rid of like Girls or Theater and say Dr. Feelgood. And then that would be a great one.
Yeah.
So let's do something fun here. If you were to say who had the best back to backs.
Oh, the best two in a row out of this entire. Oh, Jesus. Now you
name
a
couple.
Tough.
Which ones stick out to you?
I mean, for me personally, I think right off the top of my head, I go High and Dry Pyromania right off the top of my head, and then I would probably go. See, it's funny because we haven't mentioned this yet about me personally. My evolution of these bands has kind of changed. Growing up, I was obsessed with Def Leppard and obsessed with Motley Crue. I liked the hits from Rat. I liked the hits from Dokken. But as I've gotten older and as I've just kind of my tastes have changed. I spend way more time listening to Rat and Dokken, and it could be fatigue too. But when I listen to some of like the Motley Crue stuff, I'm like, eh. But like, I don't get tired of Dokken. I don't get tired of Out of the Cellar.
I'm getting tired of Betty.
Yeah, exactly. But
so here's what I would say for me, Dokken, it's easy. Under Lock and Key, and Back for Attack.
Yeah, that's
Bon Jovi. If I had a pick, and this is something I'd probably ask Steve. Steve, I will take Bon Jovi and 7800 Fahrenheit as their best back-to-back albums.
Whoa!
Slippery in New Jersey.
Controversy. Yeah.
Yes, I would take those two first.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's
too far for you.
That's a little too far for me. But there's great. It's some of this stuff is impossible for me because this shit is in my DNA. Like like all these albums I had like when they came out.
Yeah,
like, literally when they came out.
Yeah.
And I agree with you for Dokken, definitely Under Lock and Key and Back for the Attack. And but I mean, just think of the even those two albums, The Turmoil, The Band, those guys fucking hated each other when they did Back for the Attack. They were on that Monsters of Rock tour and they just all showed up separate, played and they were gone.
There was shit in all those rock magazines. I used to buy them every week. Mm-hmm. And then I remember when they finally broke up and I remember reading like someone wrote to the It Parader or something like, you guys did it. You guys finally did it. You kept writing articles about them hating each other and you fucking broke them up, you assholes. And I'm like, dude, calm down. But anyway, then obviously Motley to me is their debut and Shout. And then Rat, the first two albums, obviously.
It's got to be.
Def Leppard, I don't know if I'd go High and Dry Pyromania or I'd go Pyromania Hysteria. That's tough.
To me, Hysteria, we've had this argument before, or I did with Steve, and I know we talked about it sometimes with Sonny too. To me, Hysteria is the ultimate 50-50 album. Half of that album, I think, is fantastic. Half of that album is just, and I know Steve's shaking his head because he loves it, and that's okay. But to me, I grew up with, I had a sister that was 4 years older than me. When MTV first came out, MTV constantly played those live performance videos of Let It Go, Bring It On the Heartbreak, High and Dry, Saturday Night. I was obsessed with that album.
Another Hit and Run?
Another Hit and Run. Just incredible shit on that.
Remember they put out the video for Me, My Wine?
Yeah.
Oh, that. God.
They're remember like that? I think there's two. I think there's two videos for that.
Yep.
Yeah, they were like some
like
shitty
the second
house
one. They're like partying in the house
bathroom and drinking.
Yeah, Rick Allen's playing in the bathtub
in the,
with
in the drumsticks. Shower or something.
Yeah.
So it's funny, but again, that's what I would go for two. If you go to three, I don't know what I would do for Bon Jovi. I mean, I would probably go Bon Jovi 7800 Slippery. Nothing else comes close to High and Dry Pyromania Hysteria for me. Nothing. That's the best by far. If you go, by
yeah, best Steve, three. Steve, yeah. What's your three in a row there?
If you three have... in a row, I'd go docking for the three. I'd go tooth okay. and nail under tooth lock and nail. Key and Back for the Attack. Just absolutely fantastic album.
Yeah, I would. Oh God, this is so difficult for me because I love High and Dry and Pyromania. I do like some of Hysteria. I would probably go Def Leppard or Jesus Christ. I can't believe I'm saying this. I might go Motley Crue just because I like Theater of Pain.
Oh my!
I don't know.
Too fast for love to theater, right?
Yeah, I like Theater of Pain. I don't know why.
But what about Nona on Girls, Girls, Girls? And that's the top for you.
Put it this way: I think Girls, Girls, Girls. So what do we got? 20 albums, say, of five bands, four albums. Girls, Girls, Girls might be one of the worst albums out of all 20, in my opinion.
It is.
In my opinion.
It is. Breaking the Chain would be up there. And again, these aren't bad albums. It's just like, look at these fucking bands.
Yep.
Reach for the Sky, On Through the Night.
Yeah, Reach for the Sky is questionable. But it does have I Want a Woman on it, so that's
great tune. Not yeah, some I mean, little
you could cherry pick songs off those albums for sure.
But as far as top,
someone's got to be at the bottom,
right? But that's a good point, Steve. I think that's one of the problems with some of these bands. They go later on. It's like you have to like Girls, Girls, Girls. That's like apparently the whipping boy of this episode. But you pull out, you cherry pick the good songs, and they're good. They're great songs. But the rest of the album is like, ah.
Let's be even more specific. Let's go Dokken. Best song of those four? Best song of those four albums, yeah. I would say besides Kiss of Death.
To me, that's easy. It's Unchained the Night is probably my favorite Dokken song.
Steve?
I've always loved Lightning Strikes Again. On Under Lock and Key.
Oh, that's a great one too.
That song just rips. It's
John Dokken is fucking screaming in that song. Yep.
I was just going to say when we reviewed Back for the Attack, I said I think Back for the Attack is probably my favorite Dokken album, top to bottom. But all of my favorite Dokken songs are on Under Lock and Key. I just think Back for the Attack is like a more consistent album. I know that kind of doesn't make any sense, but anyways,
it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
All right, Bon Jovi.
Oh boy!
Best song on Bon Jovi's four albums. I gotta go. Wanted Dead or Alive is just an incredible song.
I was just gonna say that, but I didn't want to sound like cliche. But I gotta go. Wanted
Dead
or Alive.
The greatest, like the lyrics, the build up, and everything.
That acoustic guitar, and then that guitar solo
over the top, and it changed fucking music. It did. Yeah. It brought in the Unplugged shit.
Yep, Steve Bon Jovi.
Homebound Train on New Jersey.
I don't really understand that love you have for that song.
Okay,
the solo's great. It has a harmonica solo in it. It just sounds
country
just fucking
rock.
Rips.
That's the fucking. It's like the it sprinkling of that country rock shit they're going to be doing in the future.
If they continued with that, I would be okay with it.
Yeah. All right.
Motley.
Well, this is easy.
I'm going. This is easy for me. Home Sweet Home may be the best song on here.
Oh, really? Oh, this is easy. Oh, for
I
me.
Think it's fucking genius. I think it's a beautiful song.
Looks to Kill. Easy. No question for me. Off Shout Out the Devil.
Wild Side for me.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
You love it. Yeah.
I love the time changes in that.
Yeah, it's a good song. Great song, actually. Yeah. Rat, this is easy. Well,
this is not easy. I have no
I don't know
idea.
If it's easy for me. It's one of two songs, but I've always said In Your Direction is my favorite Rat song just because I love that. But if not, I would probably go. I would say In Your Direction, but right behind that is Back for More, probably.
Not You Should Know.
Definitely not that.
No. You Should Know by Now. No,
I don't know. Okay. Steve, what about you for Rat?
I go Lay It Down for Rat.
Okay.
That riff is just. Killer at the beginning of that.
Yeah, the way that song starts is just incredible.
I may go off the board. I don't know. I like everything off the first two albums. I don't know which is my favorite yet. Maybe I'll throw out Dance.
I love Dance.
I love that song. Love it. The guitar on that is incredible.
Are you kidding? Oh, it's a great song. It's a great song.
Def Leppard. I might still stay with Coming Under Fire. off of.
I'm not gonna try to be clever here. I'm going with the obvious ones. Photograph. It's always been Photograph for me.
Or I might say, like I said earlier, Hysteria, the title track.
Okay.
I love, beautiful song.
Steve, you're a Hysteria guy.
I go with the title track, Hysteria.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You love it too, okay. Huh?
And I am not a ballad guy. And
it's a great
I
song.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the interest, like there's no ballads on any of the Rat songs.
No. Well, they tried. No. They got on Detonator. They tried to.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yay! You're giving yourself away. Love that.
My Homebound Train's going to wreck right into that.
Oh, Jesus.
Terrible.
Who's on that buddy guy and fucking fucking Homebound?
BB King, too.
BB King.
Oh, good God. Yikes.
But think about it. If those, this is like, to me, if these five bands just continue doing what they're doing, and then what ended up happening is you got too many of these outsiders. It's like how we would say our grunge. Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Metallica, Nirvana, Pearl Jam are putting out albums. All of a sudden you got Silverchair and all these other fucking bands.
Yep.
And you're like, oh God. And they're all sounding the same. They're all kind of trying to be different. And it's just
oversaturated.
Waters it. Maybe one band will have a good song here and there. And then there's the band live. And then there's this band. And there's that band. And it just gets lost. And that's, but these five, man.
All right. So before we wrap it up, I want to ask one question. And I don't know if we're going to be able to answer this quickly or not. This is my way of kind of getting in what I want to get in, but I want to see if you guys think. Mm-hmm. Is there any other band that you could put into this conversation with four albums? Because I have one band, and I know there's going to be people out there saying you're crazy because that third album is okay and the fourth album sucks. I'm throwing Tesla in here. I think the first two albums are untouchable. I love Psychotic Supper, and I think Bust a Nut is tremendously underrated for Tesla.
I think they're a little too late.
Okay, fair enough.
Like, that's meaning, fair. Like, you know Doc and Bon Jovi Rat when they came out, when those first albums. I think Tesla came out 86, right when these guys were on their third and fourth album.
Good point.
That's
good point.
The only reason. But I agree with you. I think Tesla is fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah.
But the images of these bands...
Yeah.
Or the popularity in that era and the LA part of it, kind of like hair metal and glam metal. I don't know. What other band would be?
I can't think. Steve, can you think of any other band that could even have a conversation about? I can't. I'm sure.
The Poisons and Warrants, if you want to say, I think they're like Tesla. They're a little bit afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, and I hate saying this.
Go ahead.
Because of our friend.
Uh-oh.
Y&T.
Okay.
They have a lot of stuff that is that they came out in 81. Their first album came out in 81.
Yeah, real early.
81, even before that, I think 79. But they're a band that evolved with that time too. Like their mid 80s albums are great. Like In Rock We Trust and Down for the Count. Like that stuff. I think that stuff stands up with any.
I don't think they're a bad band. I don't think they might make this era. I just don't think they ever. Got to, but
they never had the traction.
That was the thing.
They never got the traction.
Zeus, you brought up a good point. Poison. I mean, I'm not a big.
A little after them and Warrants and things like that came a little afterwards. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, fair, fair.
And, you know, also, Warrant doesn't have the catalog that these guys have that we're talking about tonight.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, even so, even Poison, where they had the, you know, they had. They sold a lot of albums too, maybe more than some of these bands. Probably sold more than Dokken.
Oh God! Between Look What the Cat Dragged In and Open Up and Say Ah, and then even further on. I mean, they
sold more than Dokken. Yeah, and
definitely, Rat. Definitely.
But
definitely.
The point is, I think that they came in a little bit later. And,
and
also, guys weren't really like guys got into these bands. Even Bon Jovi, guys were into.
Yes,
and then. Poison is more of a girls and kind of, it's not the same. I wouldn't put them in this category. Although people that hate this genre would throw them all together and call it hair metal.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I'm not sure if there's any other band that would fit.
Yeah.
With these
if up with the echelon that these guys are. I mean, there's bands like LA Guns and,
a little bit later.
Faster Pussycat, that they came out a little bit later.
And I was going to say also
just on the edge of it.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say if they didn't fuck up and they came out later, it was Guns N' Roses. You had Appetite, GNR Lies, and the Use Your Illusion albums. But that was late 80s, 90s.
They would go with the LA Guns, Faster Pussycat.
Yeah,
I would put them in with those guys.
Yep.
But these five, I think, are the quintessential. And
I agree.
If you're really into this music, you should have all of these albums. Really.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, this is fun.
Yeah, Steve, tell everybody where they can get more Powerwolf talk if they want to hear from Steve and the Part of an Hell guys.
You can get Powerwolf, Sabotage, Saxon, Scorpions, everything.
Scorpions,
and,
awesome.
And we do a lot. We do a lot of this stuff too. Actually,
of course.
Just did it like a combined album thing, and two of my albums were Tooth and Nail and Under Lock and Key.
Awesome. Like
make one album out of two.
Nice.
Impossible to do because the songs you leave out could be another album of itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
by the way, hey, Steve, you just said it. I forgot to even mention it. Best probably solo guitar song, Tooth and Nail, off these all five bands. Tooth and Nail, the title track is
the song favorite. Itself, the title track. Oh,
yeah.
The guitar solo.
There's so many for George Lynch. Not to extend you, but who do you think is the best guitar player in the five bands we talked about tonight?
Not even close. George Lynch.
It's got to be George Lynch. And then if you're going to throw in anybody else, you throw maybe more. You put in Warren DeMartini.
I would put Richie Sambora.
Okay, fair.
And Warren, I would
put different kind of player though.
They're the
different
same,
kind of player.
But
Richie.
I love their solos. Melodic solo, mm-hmm. right back into the song. Nothing fucking crazy. And
even
Def Leppard's. I mean, you don't really go nuts about their solos. Their earlier albums,
never.
Yes,
no,
but not by Hysteria. Has anybody been like, yeah? The solos, guitar solos on Hysteria.
No, there aren't. Are there any solos on Hysteria?
I know, that's what I'm thinking. Some. I've never heard anybody say that.
Yeah.
But Steve, tell us exactly where we can find you and BB, BC, Dylan, and the rest of Powerwolf crew.
Yeah, check us out, Part of the Hell podcast. We release an episode every Friday. And like Zeus said, it's myself, BC, BB, and my son Dylan. He's with us. He's the younger, the voice of reason, I think, sometimes on our podcast. He's got to reel me in once in a while. But we talk about all this kind of stuff, and we do Kiss episodes, Iron Maiden, and and any kind of like Sabotage or stuff like that is usually BC bringing it in. But I'm the Powerwolf guy, I got to say.
Nice.
That.
Awesome.
But check us out. We have a good time. And one thing I always say I like about our podcast, we are all four of us in the same room when we record.
Which is a nice dynamic. Yes. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome to have you, Steve. We wouldn't have
Thank
anybody.
You. I appreciate the invite.
Oh, absolutely. Always. Love you, buddy.
Yeah. Till next
Love
time.
You guys too.
Peace out, Girl Scout.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com. Code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.